Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Robert. Welcome to our most indulgent episode. So I was walking along the road and thinking about how great Robert Mitchum is for whatever reason, and I wondered, is he the greatest Robert in all cinema? Because this is the kind of thing that goes through my mind, I guess. And I had the light bulb moment of imagining doing a Music and the Movies episode on Roberts in the Movies, which is one of those really dumb ideas that snowballed, and now here we are, looking at various Roberts in film and listening to some music associated with them. I'm pretty sure this is how you win Peabody Awards. It was easy to come up with a short list because Robert is a very common name, and we have many more Roberts than we know what to do with here, but we will cover some favorites. And then at the end of the show for the trailer, we'll hear the voice of a key Robert singing something that should chill the spine under the circumstances. We will start with the original inspiration for this talk, Robert Mitchum, an actor who was always taken for granted because he looked like he wasn't acting, which is, in fact, a fairly tricky thing to convey. Since Mitchum died in 1997, he's gotten more respect, I think, and his naturalism, his ability to move through space in a graceful way and listen to other actors and to sometimes act only with his eyes, have all gotten reappreciated. So lots of great movies to choose from, but let's hear the man's voice in song from a project that, even though it's kind of a drive-in picture, showed an unusual amount of involvement on Mitchum's part. This is the 1958 release Thunder Road, which he starred in, produced from his original idea, and co-wrote the theme song, which we are about to hear. The story is about bootleggers driving fast cars to transport their moonshine, and the movie and theme song tell the story of one such outlaw. The song was performed in the film by another singer, but we're going to listen to Robert Mitchum's version.
Let me tell the story, I can tell it all, about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, son, he drove the load. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town, the revenuers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine, twice the devil's thirst.
The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. On the 1st of April, 1954, the federal man sent word he'd better make his run no more. He said 200 agents were covering the state. Whichever road he tried to take, he'd get him sure his fate. Son, his daddy told him, make this run your last. Your tank is filled with 100 proof, you're all tuned up and gassed. Now don't take any chances, if you can't get through, I'd rather have you back again than all that Mountain Dew.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine and white lightning was his load.
And there was
moonshine, moonshine to quench the devil's thirst. The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. Roaring out of Harlan, revving up his mill, he shot the gap at Cumberland and screened by Maynardville. With G-Man on his taillight, roadblocks up ahead, the mountain boy took roads that even angels feared to tread. Blazing right through Knoxville, out on Kingston Pike, then right outside of Bearden, there they made the fatal strike. He left the road at 90, that's all there is to say. The devil got the moonshine and the
mountain boy that day.
And there was thunder, thunder, over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine, quenched the devil's thirst.
The law they never got him, 'cause the devil got him first. Law they never got him, 'cause the devil got him first.
Thunder, 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 toll.
The Ballad of Thunder Road, sung by Robert Mitchum. Written by Mitchum and Don Ray, a song from the movie Thunder Road, the title of which inspired Bruce Springsteen to write his own song by that name. More music associated with Mitchum now from a large-scale David Lean production, Ryan's Daughter, which came out in 1970, a story of a tragic triangle in which Mitchum plays against type as a mild-mannered schoolteacher. The production ballooned to overblown proportions as the weather and other elements failed to cooperate, and Mitchum found himself marooned on Ireland's Dingle Peninsula for a year, consoling himself with the local pubs. David Lean said that the music Maurice Jarre composed for the film was his favorite of the movies they did together, and that is saying something since their collaborations included Lawrence of Arabia and Dr. Zhivago. Here's Rosie's theme from Ryan's Daughter. Music from Ryan's Daughter, composed by Maurice Jarre, something of a notorious flop at the time. David Lean was so traumatized by the bad reviews that he stayed away from filmmaking for 15 years. An interesting movie, though, I think, and Mitchum's performance is one of the gentlest in his career. All right, let's spin the wheel now and come to another Robert, and we land on De Niro, who has made many films with fine music involved. How about starting with something from one of his films with director Martin Scorsese? In this case, the 1977 release New York, New York, a movie that tries to blend the format of a 1940s Hollywood musical with a new kind of movie making and acting style. I'm not sure the movie entirely works, but it is fascinating to watch as De Niro's unstable sax player romances Liza Minnelli's Songbird. Along with old songs on the soundtrack, there are some new tunes provided by John Kander and Fred Ebb, and one of them would become a gigantic hit for Frank Sinatra a few years after the film's less-than-blockbuster release. Liza Minnelli sings it in the film, but why don't we listen to an instrumental version from the soundtrack? If you haven't guessed yet, the song is Theme from New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theme from New York, New York, written by John Kander and Fred Ebb. Not yet a classic Sinatra tune, but simply part of the soundtrack of the film New York, New York, which contains a wild and risky performance by Robert De Niro, who, of course, learned to play saxophone for his role, true to his intense approach in those days. You don't hear him on the soundtrack, but he learned how to play the instrument. From that same era, De Niro gave one of his most committed performances in the Vietnam and Homefront saga, The Deer Hunter, Oscar-winning Best Picture of 1978. And there's a piece of music used in that film that has taken on a life of its own beyond the movie. It's performed by classical guitarists, and it's been used in other films. Composed by Stanley Myers, the piece is called Cavatina. Music from the soundtrack of The Deer Hunter. That's Cavatina, composed by Stanley Myers, a veteran of British cinema. It's a piece originally created almost 10 years earlier, used in a different film, but brought to prominence in The Deer Hunter, where it plays kind of as an oasis in that film's violence. I'm Robert Horton. You're listening to The Music and the Movies, and we are simply looking at films associated with people named Robert today. And we've got one more for the Robert known as De Niro, this time music designed to introduce his formidable character in The Untouchables. The great Ennio Morricone, composed the music for this titan of 1920s gangland in a cue that could only be titled Al Capone. Music from The Untouchables, composed by Ennio Morricone, that swaggering cue titled Al Capone and tied to Robert De Niro's performance as the gangster. Morricone composed music for other De Niro pictures, including two of his most famous scores, I think, The Mission and Once Upon a Time in America. Well, we could not leave out Robert Redford, one of Hollywood's greatest Bobs, and someone with a lot of terrific movie music associated with his career. I thought immediately of the retro 1920s soundtrack to The Great Gatsby, in which Redford took the lead role in the 1974 adaptation, and this ghostly song, which forms a recurring theme for the movie's melancholy. Originally written by Irving Berlin in 1923, this is a version of What'll I Do?, produced for the film's soundtrack by Nelson Riddle, and sung by the actor William Atherton.
Gone is the romance that was so divine. 'Tis broken and cannot be mended. You must go your way, and I must go mine. But now that our love dreams have ended, far away, and I do? What'll I do when I am wondering who is kissing you? What'll I do? What'll I do with just a photograph to tell my troubles to? When I'm alone with only dreams of you that won't come true, what'll I do?
That is What'll I Do, a classic Irving Berlin song used prominently on the soundtrack of The Great Gatsby, sung there by William Atherton. An apt choice for Gatsby and also for Robert Redford, an actor who almost reluctantly carries the glamour of a previous era with him. Redford's been around so long that his career falls into distinct phases. Despite his ridiculous good looks, it took him a while to get past being a male ingenue in the 1960s. Only to explode into superstardom in the 70s and 80s, and then kind of into elder statesman status that includes his work as a director and as the creator of the Sundance Film Festival and Institute. By the time he got to the 21st century, he was giving some of his best performances, one of which, I would strongly argue, is in the 2013 film All Is Lost, superb story of a slow-developing disaster on a sailboat, and truly a one-man film in which Redford must grapple with the step-by-step efforts to fix his boat, and also the growing suspicion that he will probably not survive. This is beautifully captured in the performance by Redford and in the music by Alex Ebert, an example of which is this track titled Excelsior and the All-Day Man. Music from the film All Is Lost, composed by Alex Ebert. One thing about actors, when they've sustained a career for a long time, they bring their associations with previous roles and the, you know, personality they've established, and just the fact that we've been through a lot with them on screen already. That's one of the things that makes Robert Redford's casting in All Is Lost so ingenious. Part of the reason we're so engaged with his effort to survive is that he's Redford, and we can believe in his common sense, his smarts, even his kind of outdoorsy aura, and we want him to live. Well, one of the essential Roberts in the generation after Redford was Robert Downey Jr., an unpredictable and lightning-fast actor. He's one of the few people who could actually suggest the genius of Charlie Chaplin, who he played on film, who managed to survive personal travails only to become stuck in the gilded web known as the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where his portrayal of Iron Man has invariably been a bright spot in that comic book fantasy land. I'm going to a film that is one of the most intriguing that he's been involved with. It was made just before the MCU took him over. Zodiac, David Fincher's eerie account of the attempt to find the Zodiac Killer, in which Downey plays one of the detectives on the case. This appropriately suspenseful music is by David Shire. Music composed by David Shire for the film Zodiac. That cue is titled Avery and Graysmith, Toski and Armstrong, those names being the four main investigators we follow on the case of the Zodiac Killer, a case that remains officially unsolved, which is one of the most haunting things about that film, although it probably had something to do with the film's failure at the box office. Robert Downey Jr. was a member of the ensemble cast of that film and is typically terrific in the movie. You're listening to the music in the movies. I'm Robert Horton, and somewhat absurdly, we are listening to music from films with people named Robert. That's all I can say about it. Another Robert of Downey's generation is Robert Carlyle, the Scottish actor. He's always good, whether scaring the pants off us in Trainspotting or dropping his pants in The Full Monty. This gives me an excuse to play part of the soundtrack of a Carlyle film called Ravenous, a unique cannibal western poised somewhere between horror and satire, directed by Antonia Bird. A movie I've always liked and a soundtrack I really cherish. The music is a collaboration between Damon Albarn of the band Blur and Michael Nyman, the distinguished classical composer who also did the piano, among other things. The two composers apparently worked separately on different tracks, so we're going to listen to an inventive one that is mostly Damon Albarn, apparently. The setting is a woebegone pre-Civil War military fort in the Sierra Nevada mountains where Carlyle plays a stranger who shows up one day with an extremely strange tale to tell. We're going to listen to a typically unusual music cue titled Boyd's Journey, which incorporates the march Hail Columbia from Ravenous. That's music from the singular film Ravenous, from a soundtrack composed by Damon Albarn and Michael Nyman, a film starring one of our Roberts today, Robert Carlyle. Well, we might shift gears with a few vocal performances, the first of which comes from a stellar Robert Duvall, in his Oscar-winning performance from the 1983 film Tender Mercies. Duvall created a country singer who had seen better days, and Duvall does his own singing in the role. Here's Duvall doing a credible version of a country singer, proving you don't have to have a great singing voice to act the part. The song is It Hurts to Face Reality.
See that cloud there in the sky, slowly drifting by, Well, that's the way. She's a drifting from me. Too long have I to myself. I know there's someone else, but oh, it hurts so much to face reality. A little child, boy or girl, will dream at night in their own dream world, and as they fly, they pretend and they believe. Well, I'm no child, but times it's true, I pretend I'm not losing you, because it hurts so much to face reality. Sometimes some things are hard to face. With me, it's reality, knowing someone will take my place. I'll go on loving you through eternity. But oh, it hurts so much to face reality.
Robert Duvall there, singing It Hurts to Face Reality, written by Lefty Frizzell from the soundtrack of Tender Mercies. We're going to stay in the country music mode and shift our attention from actors named Robert to a film director named Robert. And there have been many of them, but in this case it's Robert Altman, who put music at the center of his 1975 film Nashville. With his usual approach to involving actors in the creation of their roles, Altman encouraged his cast to create their own songs, which can work okay when your actors are talented people such as Ronnie Blakely and Karen Black and Keith Carradine, who won the Best Song Oscar for one of his tunes from Nashville, I'm Easy. One of Altman's most inspired touches was hiring Henry Gibson, the comedian from the TV show Laugh-In, as a powerful and beloved country singer. Gibson's three songs, which he wrote with Richard Baskin, are razor-sharp imitations of country schmaltz, including the inspirational ballad Keep A-Goin'. Here's Henry Gibson singing one of those tunes, one that catches the bicentennial spirit. It's called 200 Years.
My mother's people came by ship and fought at Bunker Hill. My daddy lost a leg in France, I have his medal still. My brother served with Patton, I saw action in Algiers. Oh, we must be doing something right to last 200 years. My sons won't go to war, but if they must, they must. I share our country's motto, and in God I place my trust. We may have had our ups and downs, our times of trials and fears, but we must be doing something right to last 200 years. I've lived through two depressions and seven Dust Bowl droughts, floods, locusts, and tornadoes, but I don't have any doubts. We're all a part of history. Why old glory waits to show how far we've come along today. got to go. It's been hard work, but every time we get into a fix, let's think of what our children face in 2-0-7-6. It's up to us to pave the way with our blood and sweat and tears. For we must be doing something right to last 200 years. We must be doing something right to last 200 years.
Pretty good rehearsal. Now let's take another one and do it with a little more religious fervor.
Henry Gibson there, in character, as a country music legend singing 200 Years, a song he wrote with Richard Baskin. Talented musician, also the son of the founder of Baskin-Robbins Ice Cream. That's from the Robert Altman film, Nashville. You're listening to The Music of the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are listening to music associated with Cinematic Roberts. Nashville is a new sort of movie musical, and we're going to turn to the traditional Broadway musical for our next number, and yet another Robert Morse, who gained stardom in the stage version of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. When that show was made into a movie in 1967, Morse reprised his Tony-winning performance, retaining his manic pixie quality as a rising young executive in business. In this song, he sings the title sentiment, I Believe in You, while looking at himself in the mirror at the executive washroom.
Now there you are. Yes, there's that face. That face that somehow I trust. It may embarrass you to hear me say it, but say it I must. Say it I must. Have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. I believe in you. I believe. I hear the sound of good, solid judgment whenever you talk. Yet there's the bold, brave spring of the tiger that quickens your walk. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you. And when my faith in my fellow man all but falls apart, I've but to feel your hand grasping mine, and I take heart. I take heart to see the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet with the slam, bang, tang, reminiscent of gin and vermouth. I believe in you.
Gotta stop that man. Gotta stop that man. Or he'll stop me.
wheel. Big fever, boiling hot with front office fever. Gotta stop, gotta stop, gotta stop that plan.
Oh, I believe in you.
Don't let him be such a hero.
I believe in
stop
you.
Stop that man, gotta stop him. Stop
you.
That man, gotta stop him. Stop
you.
That man, gotta stop that
you.
Man.
That's Robert Morse singing I Believe in You to himself in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, his best-known film role. Music and lyrics by Frank Lesser. Morse also appeared in the notorious mid-60s film The Loved One, a satire on the world of the American funeral business. And he had a late career resurgence as part of the cast of the TV series Mad Men, very memorably returning to the milieu of How to Succeed in Business. And I know what you're thinking. How can you pick a Robert who recreated his Broadway success in a signature movie and not pick Robert Preston and the Music Man? But I also enjoyed Morse, and I just thought I'd highlight that performance. We're going to pick off two Roberts in our next selection. The actor Robert Pattinson is one of the notable Robs of our era, having come to fame in the Twilight movies and recently taking on the title role in The Batman. Despite looking like a model, Pattinson has demonstrated an admirable tendency to really want to act. And he's chosen to work with really some very interesting filmmakers such as David Cronenberg, the Safdie brothers, and Claire Denis. And one of the films that resulted is The Lighthouse from 2019. Truly zany and, sometimes baffling movie, directed by Robert Eggers, in which Pattinson and Willem Dafoe give full-bore performances as two lighthouse keepers apparently trapped on an isolated rock in the ocean. The music for the film is a trippy concoction that perfectly suits the movie. It's composed by Mark Corvin. Here are brief cues titled Mermaid, Murder, Heavy Labor. Music there from The Lighthouse, composed by Mark Corvin, a film starring Robert Pattinson and directed by Robert Eggers, who followed that one by directing the big action spectacle, The Northman. Another 2019 curiosity makes our list, Ari Aster's elaborate folk horror film Midsommar, in which Florence Pugh follows a boyfriend to Sweden and a cult community that's up to some really strange rituals. The Robert involved is a British composer and music producer named Bobby Krillick, who performs under the name The Haxan Cloak. His music for Midsommar is atmospheric and immersive, and you'll hear exactly how that works for the movie's ominous mood in this minute and a half long cue titled Ritual in Transfigured Time. Music from the soundtrack of Midsommar, composed by Bobby Krillick, a.k.a. The Haxan Cloak, a soundtrack almost as unnerving as the movie itself. And we have our trailer music, which ushers us toward the end of the show, and the unusual track we have here is a return to Robert Mitchum and his greatest role as the depraved preacher in The Night of the Hunter. 1955. Mitchum is terrorizing Lillian Gish and the children she's protecting. He taunts them by singing the spiritual song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Here he croons the tune at night outside their house, and Gish's character joins in on the singing as though to face him down.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all.
Robert Mitchum and Lillian Gish singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, a 19th century hymn written by Anthony Showalter and Elisha Hoffman from the film The Night of the Hunter. All right, that's our Robert show, and apologies to all the people left out. Robert Townsend, Robert Rodriguez, Robert Forster, Robert Ryan, Roberto Benigni, Bobby Darin, Robert Blake, I guess, and Bob Hope. For that matter, Robert Horton, not me, but my actor namesake. I think we'll play music from Wagon Train some other time. We go out today with a proper fade out from Robert Altman's Nashville, a film that ends, and we won't have any spoilers exactly, with a disaster during an outdoor concert where the show must go on spirit leads somebody to suggest that everybody keep on singing, and somehow the microphone gets handed to the least likely person in this country music cavalcade, the wannabe singer played by Barbara Harris, who gets the crowd to join in on It Don't Worry Me, written by Keith Carradine, which comes across in this instance as either an ode to laid-back acceptance or an alarming embrace of apathy. Either way, it's the perfect fade to black for the American tapestry that is Nashville. I'm Robert Horton, and on behalf of all the Roberts represented in this self-indulgent episode, I thank you for listening to the music and the movies.
You say this train give out right. It don't worry me. And all the world is taken side. It don't worry me. Cause in my past, life is sweet. Just as any bond you meet, you may say I ain't free. Well, it don't worry me. Everybody sing. It don't worry me. You may say I ain't free. It don't worry me. Come on, everybody. It don't. It don't worry me. You may say I ain't free. It's gonna worry me. Price of bread may worry some. It don't worry me. Tax relief may never come. It don't worry me. Economy's depressed, I mean.